Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you again. And last Sunday, I know that you were canceled, the services, as were also in Current Road. And so I get to speak a whole hour to make up for it this Sunday. How's that? just kidding. Not quite an hour. But, you know, we have really experienced some weather this year, already this winter, haven't we? I mean, from one extreme to the other. And last week, I counted 4 sub-zero days in a row. 15 below was the lowest, and I think 7 or 8 below was the highest, below zero. And then Friday, rain, man, it was something else. But, you know, this morning, as cold as we have experienced it, and I can't remember the last time we had double digits below zero. And I know we've had, but it's been a while. But we're going to try to warm it up this morning a little bit and think about the time when we plant seeds, you know, in the springtime. Some of you might plant seeds in a cup and put them in a window that faces south so the sun will sprout them into starter plants, and you do your gardens for those of you that still are able to go out and do a garden. I know Bill and Maylene, they've done gardens, tremendously large gardens, and as Patty and Bill and some of you others, and we still do one a little bit, but Jesus talked about sowing the seed, didn't he? And it was found in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and that's where we're primarily going to be, Matthew 13, so if you'd like to turn there, please do and try to follow along. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. And I will really be reading through verses beginning in verse 1 through 9. And then I will skip down to verse 18 through 23. And before I do that, it is said that about a third of all that Jesus taught was through by parables. And first, what is a parable? Well, I know many of you understand quite well what a parable is. But if there's any here that may not, and, you know, these lessons sometimes they get recorded and they're on the website and people listen to them and they might need to know what a parable is too, because we want people to understand. But it was a story told that would really relate to the people according and during their time. Things that were a part of their lives. Things that they were familiar with. A story told to illustrate a point. An analogy is what we might call it today. So beginning in Matthew, verse number 1, it reads here, "On that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole multitude was standing on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds that fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, but because they had no depth of the soil. And so, but when the sun had risen and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a good crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed had been sowed beside the road, that hard ground. And the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one whose seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Okay, so this story is about the sower, right? And some seed, and he sows a seed that is very, this is a very familiar picture to this audience that he is speaking to here. Because this is this was by the Sea of Galilee, all right? And it was in the vicinity of the town of Capernaum. And so what I'm getting at, these people lived off the land, as most everybody did during that time. They didn't have markets like we had, where we can go to the store and stock up. They didn't live off the land and be successful, they were in trouble. Kind of like farmers many years ago. And I'm sure they had markets. They had markets back in those days, but they didn't have Walmarts. They didn't have Myers. They didn't have Target or Martins. They didn't have what we have today, of course, and we understand that. And they understood these four types of ground that Jesus was describing, and sometimes we think we understand it when we read what type of ground it is, but maybe we don't. At least maybe there's two or three of them here that we may not fully understand, and I just want to explain them a little bit because it helps us to appreciate, I think, the story a little more. So we see that the sower goes out and scatters seed around, and it falls on these different kinds of ground. And the first one we see here is the wayside, as some Bibles describe it. The road, on the road, or the hard ground. In Palestine, they had no sidewalks, of course. And so this was the ground where paths were worn. And we have seen in our time where people, where there wasn't a sidewalk or a road, but some area of grassy area, I suppose, where we see where people would walk a lot and it would be worn down to the dirt and nothing would grow there. Has little chance for the seed to penetrate and go into the ground. And as Jesus described it, it's a good opportunity for it to just lay there long enough for the birds to come and get a good, easy meal. I remember when I was a kid, growing up at home, my dad, we didn't have much growing up. We had food and raiment, but we didn't have a whole lot of other stuff. We had to make do, but my dad would like to have a nice lawn. He always wanted to have a nice lawn. He couldn't afford fertilizer or weed killer. And he couldn't afford to put a fence around his yard to keep people out. But the problem was with our yard, as much as he tried to take care of it, we had a path worn in the middle of our front yard. Because we had a mom-and-pop grocery store over on the right and a drugstore next to us. And on the other side, we had a little Ma and Pa grocery store down the ways, and we had a Buy-Rite's, what they called supermarket. And so there was people going back and forth. And we lived on U.S. 12, which was, at the time, it's Red Arrow Highway now. And it was U.S. 12. It was the road between Chicago and Detroit. There was no I-94 at one time, you know. And so it was dangerous for people to walk on the shoulder of the road. So they walked through our yard, and no matter, you know, I remember trying to do some things to make grass grow there because it was really ugly. And you couldn't do it, you know. There was always this bare, worn path. And I also had to have the job of picking up paper because people really littered in our yard. They'd buy candy and ice cream. They'd take off the wrapper, and, you know. Well, that's the first ground. Now, the second ground is this rocky ground. And not ground that was, you know, like we would think of as if we look at a plowed field around here and we might see a bunch of large stones in it with the plow turns up and that. It's not necessarily like that. But this rocky ground in this region was, there was a layer of soil, and then there was an underlying ledge of rock, okay? And there was no depth. So the seed would spring up right away, but then when the heat of the day would come, the soil would get hot and dry, and that delicate sprout would wither and die off. And so, you know, you have hanger flowers. Anybody ever have hanger flowers? You don't water them every day, you just might lose that hanger flower. But, and it's kind of the same way. Now, the third ground we see here is what Jesus called the thorny ground. And what it is it's not necessarily where a bunch of thorns kind of, we do have weeds. It's weeds is what it is. It's any kind of weeds. Anything that can choke out the good seed, okay? And sometimes we have weeds that have thorns as well. And it overcomes these good, delicate plants from the good seed. Anybody that's ever done any gardening knows about weeds, okay? And I remember when my kids were young, one day they came to me and they said, "Dad, we want to do the garden this year. We want to do the garden." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure you do." You know, because they didn't know what they were getting into. And so I let them do it. And after they got tired of pulling weeds every few days, that got old. They didn't want to do it anymore. They understood. We understand by experience, don't we? And so, I remember too that when I was a kid at home, we had this field next to our house. We did everything out there. We could dig holes. We could play out there. We did everything, you name it. We played a lot of baseball out there. And there was never any grass out there, but there was a lot of weeds. And there was those sand burrs out there in some of those areas. We used to call them stickers. That's what we called them. Same thing. When somebody would hit the ball in them sand burrs and you had to go get it, you didn't want to. I mean, you couldn't even pick that ball up. It was so covered with sand burrs. And then when you got in there, your cuffs of your pants and your socks were all full of sand burrs. I remember a young girl one time, she swallowed those sand burrs by accident. And I said, "How in the world did that happen?" She says, "Well, you know how kids used to take those sand burrs and they'd have sand burr fights and they'd throw them and they'd stick. I mean, you know, kid, you know how us kids were? We're terrible. We never did that. But somebody did that to her and they hit her in the mouth and somebody hit her in the back and she went and she sucked those sand burrs down. But anyway, that's the thorny ground. And number four, finally, we have this good ground. We know what the good fertile ground is, don't we? It's loose. It's able to receive good seed with depth. Depth for and even clean enough for unhindered growth. And so Jesus' interpretation of this parable hinges on the four different kinds of ground, which really represents four different kinds of hearts that we're going to run into with people in the world. And so the seed is good seed. It's trying to penetrate the ground in which it is sown, and whether or not the seed bears good fruit depends on the soil in which it falls on. Real simple. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching that the seed, which is God's Word, whether it bears good fruit or not depends on which hearts it falls on. Hard-hearted. Jesus talked about hardened hearts. So back to this first one, this hard wayside ground. We call it hard-headedness today, don't we? And so, it's so hard that the Word can't enter it. Jesus talks many times about, and we hear this message, but the message is wasted on a hard-hearted ground. And maybe their minds wander, or maybe they're too arrogant and proud, or maybe they just don't think the Scriptures pertain to them. But this is the hard soil. And is the hard heart to blame for not receiving the Word? Yeah, if it's the heart that's hardened. Hebrews 3:13 reads, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The human heart can be hindered, like hardened, like pavement, by persisting in wrong and rejecting the right. The rocky ground again. Let's look at this type of heart in a heartful way. There were many people who followed Jesus impulsively back in the day. There were times when people ran over Jesus to get to Him. Okay? But the problem was they accepted Him quickly, but their faith was so shallow. And when persecution came, they gave up and they ran the other way. They weren't willing to take the heat, so they got out of the kitchen, you know. And it was easy come, easy go. They lived feelings rather than conviction. That was a problem. Like some people today, they might get absorbed with their preacher, and if their preacher dies or moves off to another location or something, then they may even quit coming, or they might follow that preacher. But many people find out that it's not easy to be a Christian, although it's easy to start. But like a lot of other things, it's easy to start, but it isn't easy to continue. I mean, there is challenges in Christianity, and Christianity is not for wimps. All right, the third ground, as we move along again now, this thorny ground that Jesus calls. This is a person that He describes is so busy with other things that he doesn't have time for God. And life sometimes gets in the way. Thorns grow before we know it. We might say, where is time gone? You know. Jesus explains that the thorns here are cares of the world. These might be delights in riches. We're so busy in that that we don't have time for God. Lusts for other things might be, in our time, maybe too much football, maybe too much racing, maybe too much fishing, maybe too much deer hunting, maybe too much metal detecting. You know, it could be anything that crowds out our lives where our priorities are not really in order. And we say things like, I don't have time. Well, we all have 24 hours in a day. And these earthly things I mentioned are not bad things necessarily, but they are bad when we're so busy that we don't take the time that we need to take to give to God. And so that's when they are bad and the problems come in. You men that have wives, us men that have wives, if we didn't spend time and take the time for our wives, would that go over easy? I don't think so. Same way with God. And we are the church. And the church is the bride. And the groom is Jesus. And we are married to Him. And so good things can occupy a person's life as well as bad things. And often, it's those good things that drain our energies and turn our hearts away from God because we're so busy. And so that's kind of a warning. Priorities get in the way. And so a thorn is anything that crowds out our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. If people back in this day had that problem, with all the things we got going on in this world today, how much more do you think we have that challenge in this society? So many are too busy for prayer, too busy for study, to know that how God really wants them to live and to be and to act and how to treat people. And now, finally, the fourth ground we get back to. The good ground. The good grounded heart. In Matthew, the good ground is the good hearer, Jesus says. They understand. And then they follow it through from start to finish. I believe in Luke it says somewhere that the good hearer keeps the word. It holds on to it and practices it in life. That is the key. I want to repeat that. The good hearer keeps the word, holds on to it, and practices it. And it also says that the good hearer brings forth fruit with patience. Our Lord does not expect a harvest overnight. Being a hearer of the things that are not popular, but the things that are true. You can't beat the truth. Popular is usually not good. You ever notice that? So today, think about what kind of ground you are in your heart. Not anyone else, but you first. Are you of the hard ground, the first one that Jesus talked about? Well, probably not, or you wouldn't have bothered to be here. Unless maybe, you know, your parents forced you to come. The rocky ground, is that the kind of heart you have? Probably not, but maybe. And if so, you won't be around long. You'll just quit. We've seen people do that all the time in the church. How about the thorny ground? This is a possibility too. This is probably where the church gets caught up in it more than anything else. Too many things in the world. You see them, now you see them, now you don't. They're in, they're out, there's all kinds of excuses why we're not here. Where are we, the good ground? Yeah, there's a lot of you out there that's, I believe, is a good ground. We can come to that conclusion when we know each other good enough. We've examined the fruits of others. That's not judgment. That's knowing the facts. Billy Gibson knows who I am and what I'm like. I know him, and vice versa. And JR, we've had many times together. And when you sow the seeds, remember, this is so important. People may not care about how much you know until they know how much you care. If you care, you'll tell people about Jesus. You will sow the seed of the kingdom. Jesus in Matthew tells God's people, you and me, to sow the seed while our government all the time is trying to shut our mouths about Jesus. That we have people that vote and pass laws that are contrary to the seeds that we're supposed to sow in Christianity. Like, we don't talk about Jesus in school. We don't talk about Him here. When I was a kid in public school, I know this was back in the 50s and the 60s, but we used public school. We used to have a man that would come in our class once a month and teach us Bible stories. Not no more. When I was in school, we called it Christmas vacation. Not no more. Don't talk about Christmas. Don't talk about anything that relates to Jesus. When I was in school, we had a Christmas program that our parents would come and we would sing about religious songs about the birth of Jesus. Or we would do a reenactment of the birth of Jesus. I remember, I'll never forget, I was one of the wise men and they gave me this phony, of course it was, block of gold, and that was the gift I brought. And I remember how, man, I wish this was real. I turned out to be more of a wise guy than a wise man, but you know. When I was a kid, it was Easter vacation. Now it's called spring break. Whatever. Jesus is not allowed in school. He was kicked out years ago. Thanks to the new laws of this land. It reminds me of the story of the little boy that goes off to school and his little puppy's following him. He's going to take his dog to school. He don't know no better. He gets to school and the little boy goes into school and the teacher don't let that doggy in there. And that poor little puppy's out there just patiently waiting for him, you know, to come out. And here comes Jesus. And he kneels down and he pets the little dog and he says, I know how you feel, little guy. I've been kicked out of here years ago. Reminds me of this thing I read about Granddad remembering the good old days story. He says, when I was a boy, my mama would send me down to the corner store with a dollar. $1. And I'd come back with 5 bags of potatoes, 2 loaves of bread, 3 bottles of milk, a hunk of cheese, a box of tea, and a half a dozen of eggs. You can't do that now. Too many security cameras. I'm just checking to see how many of you are still awake. Yeah, that was a joke. But back to the seriousness of it. That's the way Satan works. He's so subtle. He takes his time. He's got all the time in the world. He's got more time than we got. And so, before you know it, we have no right to preach or teach or sow the Word of God in our land. Don't tell people that homosexuality is wrong. You shut your mouth. Don't talk about those things. But what does Jesus say? It's sin. It's wrong. People need to know that. Now, I'm not saying we need to be mean to those people. I'm saying we need to show them and tell them in love. Let them know. We don't condone that. And so when this country was built at one time with greatness by our forefathers on biblical values, now our government takes those values away one at a time, slowly. You notice that? The next thing you know, that for some things that you say, that you used to be able to say, they throw you in jail now. They get you. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because today, Christianity threatens the agenda of our government. Unfortunately. You can talk about the Muslim religion in the USA, that's okay. But don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Christianity. We don't want to hear it. Good people, we need to wake up. Amen? We need to wake up. Because that's how subtle, how the devil just takes his time, and he's not in a big hurry, and it takes it away little by little, by little by little, all the good things, all the moral things, and still, right is right and wrong is wrong. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? If so, keep on doing it. We're going to sing an invitation song that asks that question. And we also know that if you're subject that you need prayer, or maybe you've sinned and put reproach on the church and you want to ask forgiveness, or maybe you haven't surrendered to the Lord, you have an opportunity to do that right now as Richard will lead us in the invitational song.